First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
the smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl, you could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Everybody, it's episode 22. It's the season finale of season one, One Tree Hill. In case you didn't know what show we were all watching, it's One Tree Hill. The episode is called The Games That Play Us, and it aired May 11th, 2004. Somebody read a synopsis. Tell us what happens in this episode.
Sophia, hit it, sis.
Okay, y'all. Lucas and Nathan have to bear Dan's abuse as he coaches them in the playoffs, pushing them both to the breaking point. After Dan threatens her, cool, Haley reconsiders her relationship with Nathan, and Whitey learns that his medical condition is serious. Yeah. And something left off the synopsis that feels pretty important is that Lucas is moving to Charleston with Keith.
Yeah. Right.
Hello?
Big deal. Really big deal.
Didn't this feel like you guys, like they were prepping this for a series finale? They were like, there's no promise that this thing's going to keep going. Like, let's give everyone a happy ending. So the happy endings of Haley and Nathan and Deb and Keith finally hitting all that powerful energy. And
finally,
Brooke and Peyton ending up in bed together. Like, everybody got a happy ending and Lucas left town.
Except we left Karen in tears and Dan maybe dying, although that might just be his
karma.
That
was my favorite.
You better hope I die.
I die. I know. As he's like having a heart attack or something, I was like, what's going on? Something that I thought was really cool as a device is that we basically played this whole moment in time for all of our characters and all of our little worlds in the framework of the playoff game.
Yeah.
And so the dialogue would lead from the game back to a scene, from the game to the cemetery, from the game to Peyton's house. And like, I don't know, it was a really cool device.
I didn't like it.
I liked that. You did?
It was really confusing to me. I eventually caught on because I forgot. So I was watching this and I'm like, what is happening? Why do we keep, this is all over the place. And maybe it just wasn't executed perfectly. I mean, you know, God knows when you're shooting a TV series and you're prepping other episodes and you're dealing with lots of other stuff. I understand how it's hard to get meticulous with things like that, but it confused me until about halfway through. I was like, oh,
what's happening?
You know what's funny? I think I was so prepped for the playoff game because the three of us have been like, but the playoffs!
Yeah.
Like, Lucas can't move away with Keith.
I know, and Dan.
He's got to play in the playoffs!
Yeah.
So I was really, really ready for the game.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about Lucas walking into Dan's office of his own volition and saying, I guess I'm sorry for resenting you, which I thought was honestly really unrealistic. But the next thing he said, what I really liked, which, because he was like, I'm sorry for resenting you for not being there for me. Because I was like, no, well, you shouldn't be apologizing to this guy. Why would you do that? And I guess he's trying to be the bigger person or do that for his own conscience or something.
Or just be a 16-year-old kid, you know?
Or just be a 16-year-old. But that's what I was like, do 16-year-old boys really, like, get that vulnerable and decide to go? Well, whatever. But the next thing he said was something about, what did he say next? There was like a, it was a different apology, but it made sense.
He went in there and he said that thing about, I'm sorry that I resented you for not wanting to be in my life. And I guess I never thanked you for saving me.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yes. I really loved that. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated that he was really tying up, trying to make amends, tie up loose ends before he left and be a better man before he leaves town. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I liked the parallel also that Lucas kind of, you know, swallows his pride and chooses to lean into his vulnerability with Dan. And it's echoed as these boys are becoming friends and brothers later with you and James in the Haley and Nathan moment where he says, you know, my pride would tell me to just say, yeah, that's it and leave. Yeah. But my heart wants me to tell you that I love you and that I'm not going to give up on us. And you see both of these, I mean, you're right, these 16-year-old boys making very grown-up moves to be honest about how they feel, even though their feelings are complicated.
Well, it was big of him to open up a door for Dan. You know, everybody, it's like so easy to vilify Dan. And if Luke is trying to see the silver lining there, just to be like, hey, in case you wanted to try to be that guy again, that you were at 18 years old, like, here's an opportunity for that. And it gets 100% on. Yeah. Woof. Yeah. Because we all would love opportunities to go back and fix the thing that we screwed up when we were young and dumb. You know, how many times do we get that chance?
And Keith gave that chance to Dan also in this episode when Keith says, I'm leaving, and, you know, tries to have one last moment of, I don't know, reconciliation or something
that
nice.
That brother moment that we just saw with Luke and Nathan, you know, like,
wouldn't
it be so nice if they could just hug?
Yep. And Dan gives him another snide remark and just can't do it.
Yeah. Dan really stabs at people in this episode.
Yeah. Well, for me, the theatrical device of the juicy suits was incredibly powerful this episode because
Deb in that red velvet.
No, Haley at the beginning of the episode in her own
in
juicy
the purpley
suit.
One.
That's how we knew she was about to get down.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. That's so
when Dan
funny.
Comes over, because you were looking gorgeous when Dan came over.
Like a snack.
I almost said it. You were looking like a beautiful, juicy little snack when Dan came to snip at you. And so then to see it paralleled later with Barb, just like, I'm vulnerable too. Juicy suits are such a powerful thing. I feel like we're going to have drama queen juicy suits. Y'all better just prep yourselves for it.
We need to make it happen.
We need them.
Done.
Oh,
we need to DM those people on Instagram and figure it out.
Yeah,
really
Dan's story. So Dan going to Deb while she's crying and signing the papers. And that whole manipulative story about I was going to leave you that day. And
for Karen. How about that?
Super gross.
But you told me you were pregnant.
I picked you. Oof. I picked you over the girl I really loved. So that was our first hint that he really loved Karen.
Yeah.
But he went with the girl with the most money. That's like seemingly how he made his decision.
Yeah. The girl who helped him start his car empire.
And then, you know what bugged me though? Okay. It bugged me that after he walked in and found dun dun dun, Deb and Keith wrapped up in the blankets at the fireplace, which was
loved it.
So hot. I wanted to see more of it.
We've been waiting all season.
Why did they make us not watch that? Why didn't they?
I know.
Right. They make us like do every lingering kiss ever. We should have gotten at least 7 minutes. 7 minutes in heaven with Deb and Keith.
I wanted it. And Dan walks in and he sees them. It was so vindicating. And then they both go and try and apologize to him.
Why?
I was like, man, this guy has got people really wrapped around his finger. Like, why in the world?
Yeah. He's stolen his brother's company. He, you know, has rubbed it in his face a number of times that Karen doesn't want to be with him. Like, every dig Dan can get in, he has.
I know.
And so I hope Deb had a whirl. I hope she had a great time. I hope Keith had a whirl.
Yeah.
They earned it, you know?
They really did. That is a great point, though, why they're apologizing to him. I mean, even it's so hard in that scene we were referencing earlier to see Dan be so cruel to Lucas and say, you know, you're already supposed to be on the court, you know, go run wind sprints. Like, he physically punishes his boy for being vulnerable. And then when Keith tries to talk to him this one last chance before he leaves, that, it's such a gut punch when he says, oh, what'd you do with the ring? If you're leaving, you must have proposed to Karen and she said no. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Brutal.
Like, why are these people apologizing to this horrible
man?
But
why are they? Like, is that the right thing to do? Like, do we have to continually in our lives apologize to the Dan Scotts in the world?
Or I struggle with this.
Yeah.
I really struggle with this because there's a huge part of me that's like, I want to be the better person. I want to, not better, like my ego is saying I want to be better than you, but it's
more you're better,
that
Joy. You are better.
It's that I want to go to sleep at night knowing that I've cleaned up any mess that's out there. You know, if I feel like there's a mess and I have any control over cleaning up some part of my portion of it, regardless of what the other person has done or said, my way of living, I try to clean up my mess. So I understand that, but also there is also a codependent thing that kind of goes along with that, that I end up getting taken advantage of a lot, I think, because I do tend to give people the benefit of the doubt. I do tend to, you know, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I don't want to assume the worst. And so I do that for long enough that, you know, then I end up waking up and being like, wait, I'm being totally taken advantage of. Why have I been allowing this to go on for so long?
Who does this to you? I'll fight them. If you have a list, you just pass it along.
Oh God, it's just my whole life. And by the way, I'm equally responsible because I allow it to happen. Mm-hmm. And so that's the question of why do Deb and Keith and Lucas and even Nathan sometimes, like, why do all, what is that about us that makes us feel that we need to perpetuate the cycle of like allowing somebody to hurt us, and then we go back and we're the ones who apologize even when they don't? What is that?
Yeah. Well, I think you're right though, Joy. Perhaps I think you're right because I see myself in the explanation you just offered. This
not
is
me.
Part
I'm
of
like,
why
you
we're
bastards
friends.
Are dead to me. I hate your face. Prove me wrong.
I need some of those boundaries, Hillary.
Yeah. We've been learning boundaries in our adult lives. I certainly think that for me, in trying to learn boundaries, the thing that was the hardest to accept was not everyone deserves the effort.
Yeah.
Not everyone deserves you being the bigger person to try to clean up whatever's
explaining
in the street,
everything.
You know? Because it puts you in a position where you're constantly afraid that it's you, that you're failing, that you're doing something wrong. And really what it takes me back to, and we've all been talking about this dynamic with him that is so well represented on our show, which is probably why it hurts to watch, those are abusive relationships. Yeah. Those are being in codependent relationships with users or all the way up the ladder to narcissists. And I think that it's like, it's hard to know when your desire to always figure out why something's happened and learn from it and learn the lesson and heal from it and make everybody be friends. Like, do you really have to do that with somebody like Dan Scott? I don't know.
It's an optimism. It's a level of optimism that's lovely. And I love being around optimistic people. And for me, like as someone who's prone to say you real fast, it is good for me to be around optimistic people, and I like watching optimistic people. So I like watching the characters in this episode try again. And it may work out. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened season 7, 8, 9. So does he ever circle back? Is all the effort worth something in the end? We're going to find out. I'll find out. I don't know.
We will discover it.
But we have a lot of optimistic kids here. And I think, I had no idea how many of our like signature moments and like lines were packed into this.
I forgot too. So many major things. This is one of my favorite quotes of the episode. Keith says to Karen, "Let someone discover how staggering you are."
I wrote it down too.
Oh, me too. It killed me.
Yeah.
And the two of them together, and the way that this is watching two pro actors go at it, because it was so underplayed. They weren't milking it. No one was chewing scenery. Mm-hmm. For those of you out there who aren't thespians, chewing scenery is like, when somebody just kind of takes a very minimal scene and then they literally, you know, they would. Nobody actually does this, but you're chewing on the scenery. Like you're just like making it, you're making a meal out of something that's smaller than that. They just were so simple and dropped into their bodies and all the eye contact, and you could see it, all the emotion was washing all over them. And they just sat there and felt it and then said their lines. And it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That really was a hard scene to watch because he's like, did you ever love me? And she just can't. She can't say yes. And that's, it's like she let him be her partner for so long. Cause for her, that was enough.
Yeah.
You know,
I
don't need somebody to sleep with. I just need somebody to like maybe cook dinner with sometimes and
help. She needed help raising her child.
Yeah. And he, oh God.
But also
so
talk
hard.
About allowing things to go on. Like He could have pulled the plug on that at any moment and said, look, if we're not going to be together, I can't participate in this. But he didn't, because he was getting something wonderful out of it too. You know, even though it wasn't romance, there was something else that was deeper and more meaningful.
It was intimacy
for both of them that they needed. It was intimacy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it can be complicated for, you know, two people who would theoretically be attracted to each other or date to be best friends, you know? And it's interesting to see the adult version of it, because there's so many people that I know and so many conversations we've all had about, like, oh yeah, before I was like young enough to discern and I thought I was supposed to date that person who is my friend, you know?
You're engaged to your friend, dude. You guys were friends for how long before?
Yeah, 100%. Didn't see it. And sometimes you do the opposite. Yeah. And it's like to see these adults be in the opposite thing on so many shows like ours, which is what all of our characters do. Like the kids are trying to figure out, who do they love? Mm-hmm. Who are they really supposed to be with? And I love seeing the inverse intimacy of Keith and Karen, because they love each other so deeply, but they've not crossed that line. They've never given it a shot.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's been so long that for her, she can't imagine doing that. And for him, it's been his secret all these years.
Mm. Oh. You know who doesn't have that problem? Brooke and Peyton, because boy, they loved cutting to that shot of us in the gym. Over and over.
Yeah.
They
did. What was this so much?
Guys, we're just making eyes at each other.
Basketball game. I'm like, hey, you still looking at me? I'm still looking at you.
And it just kept going over and over. Was it the same shot over and over again?
I think it was the same shot multiple times. They just were like, go back to it. Go back to it. Cut back to Brooke and Peyton.
But then, like, we're in the bar together. And we're just smiling. And then we're in bed at the end and we're just smiling. Oh. Let's do something great together. I didn't realize how I was looking at you, maybe. And maybe I did realize how I was looking at you. But I looking back on it, you know, almost 20 years later, I'm just like, yeah, duh. Like, that is totally a romance.
Yeah.
They're so happy to be back together. And
they're so happy. So what you're saying is that episodes ago, you were like, God, Peyton is so gay for Haley. And now Peyton's back to being so
gay
for Brooke.
Guys, Peyton's open for business. It's like Jake, Lucas, Haley, Brooke,
anybody.
Guys,
teenagers are experts at just ripping our hearts out and handing them to every single person who looks at us the right way.
Love me, love me. But also that is like a real thing. Like that whole, I used to joke, in the last season of One Tree Hill, when I was like single and like kind of dating around, and we played this game. You know that children's book, Are You My Mother?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I used to joke, like, Are you my husband? Are you my husband? Are you my husband? Are you my husband? With like people in bars and things.
Hillary, same. I told that joke to Jimmy Fallon. I was like, every time I see a man reading on the subway in New York, I'm like, are you my husband?
It could be. Honestly, it's like, I don't know, because that spark of seeing someone for the first time, or that spark of like recognizing someone that maybe you've known for a little while, but you've never looked at that way.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And I think that can almost even be addicting, especially to someone like Peyton, who doesn't have a stable home. And so it's like, are you going to be my fix? Are you going to be my fix? Are you going to be my fix? And Brooke is the ultimate fix. Like, that's the person who's loved her through everything.
But I think that's also part of the depth of Brooke and Peyton's bond. Neither of them knows what a healthy adult relationship looks like.
Yeah, there's been nothing modeled
for them.
And so
both of these, right? They've had nothing modeled. And so, of course, these girls get into a messy entanglement with the same boy. Of course, they,
you said entanglement.
They love deeply and an entanglement. They love deeply and they hurt deeply together, because they're two little girls who've never had an adult teach them how things are supposed to go. Mm-hmm. So they're desperately looking for the thing that feels like home.
Well, they're playing house. You know, if we can just like, if you have half a house and I have half a house, if we just combine forces, then maybe we'll have like a whole situation. And I, you know, knowing that we were on the bubble and we didn't know whether or not we were going to come back or not, I appreciate that that's the storyline that they chose for us. That it wasn't like one of us ended up with Luke, one of like I ran off with Jake. It was like, no, this bond is the important end cap to this story.
Yeah. So there's a reason why you guys' friendship was just so epic on the show and something that carried so many people through. I mean, I think that your friendship was set an example for so many young women. And, you know, they, it, just as much as Nathan and Haley were this iconic couple, I think Brooke and Peyton were the iconic friendship couple of the 2000s. And it, that shows up all the time in fans.
We never got a rain tower, Joy.
Yeah. You guys had another rain. Yeah.
I know. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave soon because I have a, I'm in Nashville right now and our, you guys, friends out there listening, it's been a real pickle trying to figure out our schedules because we've all other projects and children and, you know, all these other responsibilities. And normally it's been so we find time, but this week for some reason it was just really difficult to get our schedule. So anyway, this was our only kind of time slot to get together. So you get me for the first half hour and then you get these other two for the last.
Now we're going to talk about you. Yeah.
And they're going to carry you out.
Give us the rain scene.
I go, I want to talk about that scene with Nathan and Haley. Okay, first of all, the rain was so intense. It was like I was blinking. Like I could not look up because James is so tall. And I just right off of him. My eyes, if you look back at the scene, I couldn't even look up at him. I was just like this pelts of rain.
Somebody help me.
Diving into my eyeballs. Mm-hmm. But he looked so great in the rain, by the way. Yeah. Him looking down with that angle and that jaw and the rain just pouring on his face. And he looked more like a man for the first time.
Ooh,
totally agree.
Right? Yeah, it was great.
Yes, I was like, baby Jay.
I know.
What happened?
Oh God, I remember that day though. I remember the scene in the cemetery, and I really remembered shooting this episode. Watching this back, I went, "Oh, I have visceral memories of this." I remember being in the cemetery and how cold it was that night, and trying to. You know, we were just out there so late, and it was the first time Chad and I had been able to do a long night scene and just hang out and chat together in a really long time. So that was super fun. But the speech that Nathan gives Haley about she's clearly threatened by a sexual relationship was the one line that really bumped me. Oh. Did it bump you guys too, or was it just me?
Because it wasn't that you were threatened by a sexual relationship. It was that you were irritated. It was on his computer. like, bruh.
Yeah.
You have this on your laptop currently. And also, and by the way, they could have chosen, you know, our episode aired last week all about the porn. They could have chosen like websites that didn't sound as like raunchy as the ones that we used. And so they took some high-end material for Nathan to be into.
They really did. It bugged me because she wasn't, I don't think she was threatened by a sexual relationship. What would be threatened? That's so insulting, actually.
Well, literally, Peyton drops her off to that scene.
I know. That was the crazy part for me. I was like, they're together? What?
Oh,
why?
Yeah. Wait, true.
If you were threatened, why am I dropping you off? Like, why are we hanging out?
Yeah. Like, that's clearly not it. And what bugged me about it is... it was again going back to the device of like, you shouldn't care about the sex because you have my heart. And I was like, no, it's not about the fact that this is a person who's been sexual. Sure, that can make you feel a little nervous about your own readiness or whatever. But the whole point is that she's upset that there has been a lie about sexual activity that doesn't include her.
Yeah, 100%. And this is someone who clearly has a very high view of sex. She doesn't see it as a commodity to trade or something that is, you know, for her, this is something that she really values and puts a high value in because it really is meaningful to her. And, you know, that's complicated when you're in a relationship with someone who hasn't functioned with sex in that way. And who knows, you know, how things can change for Nathan or how things have changed for him. But I just thought that was really the wrong line to choose. And I remember feeling like, guys, I hate this line. Can't we change it? But it wasn't my line, so it wasn't up to me.
It's so hard to change someone else's dialogue. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just had to like, okay, Haley's going to forgive him, I guess.
I will say props to James because he took some lines that were gross and that device of like, you have my heart that we've been complaining about for weeks, just being like, come on, like have a real conversation. And he was to your point, like he brought a man's energy to it. He brought his vulnerability to it. He sort of got over the worst of the dialogue as quickly as possible and leaned into the apologies and into how he wasn't going to be a typical guy who just sat in his pride and said, well, forget it. And he brought all this other stuff to it. And I was really impressed with him. You know, he was 18 years old, like doing that scene. And what a G our friend is.
He threw away the bad lines. He was like, if I just say them real fast. And like,
And then he leaned into the good lines and it was really sweet to watch because even though I feel for you in that moment, Joy, and like, I didn't like that either. I still came away from that scene going, I really like that. I like that he chose vulnerability as a teenage boy.
Which is realistic too, by the way, because nobody just changes their mind and it's rare that someone will change their mind on a dime and everything's going to be perfect all of a sudden. So it's fine that he had to find, you know, that was sort of where the line that he could come to make sense of it, to keep moving forward and, you know, give him space to grow, I guess. I don't know. Am I being too generous? I think that makes sense.
No, but you ended that scene perfectly. I mean, the will if you have to was so good.
And it was such a good kiss. And then we were in his house and that bra from Edge of Urge, because remember there was a whole thing about
Have to tell the bra story.
Oh my gosh.
No, you guys, in my notes, I literally have that satin bra in all caps on my notes sheet. Joy, you looked so hot. I was like, oh no.
That bra, well, they wanted me in a regular bra. And I was 21. I had never been in a regular bra on TV before. I mean, now I'll be totally naked. I don't have a problem with it, but you know, whatever.
I've given birth.
Yeah, please. I have no shame left. Like, I'll take all the roles Kate Winslet doesn't want. Yeah.
Cool.
You're like, paint me like one of your French girls.
But back then, I was definitely really nervous about that. And I didn't want to be in a bra on TV. And so I didn't know what to do. And we found this sort of sports bra thing that was satin. So it looked like something Haley would wear. But I do remember filming that scene and it was, I couldn't wear nipple pads because they would have shown through the satin.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it was a little cold in there when I went in and I'm trying to remember exactly what happened, but I know that our director, I specifically was like, listen, I really don't, like, I'm in satin and my nipples are going to show through this and I really am uncomfortable with that. Can you please just, like, shoot above it? Just make sure you're, like, or just wait until, like, it's
smooth.
It
warms up.
And it warms up a little in here. And he said, no problem, absolutely. And then they just fucking did whatever they wanted to do.
That's what they
shot around it. And I was so upset. Yep. I was so upset because honestly, I could have chosen a padded bra that at least it would have been like a bikini top, but then I wouldn't have been so exposed. But the fact that you can totally see my nipples through that shirt.
They're beautiful.
And it was a satin. They're beautiful. Hey, I got great boobs. I'm so happy about them. But
I'm so happy about them. That needs to be on a shirt.
I'm so happy about
that. That's right. But at 21, I was so like, oh my God, my nipples are on TV. I was losing my
that's
mind.
That's a big deal. Yeah. But
that's so scary.
You looked so beautiful and so innocent, but also it was clear this is a girl coming into her own. She's making decisions on her own.
Making a decision.
And I thought that you played all of that really, really well, you know, and it's iconic for the, you know, canon of the show. It's this episode, you two kissing in the rain and then
oh my gosh,
getting married.
And that carries through the rest of the series.
And Lucas has such a good reaction at the end when I'm like, we got married last night, and they dropped the bomb, and Haley and Nathan just like, hee-hee, like it's
they're
cute.
So
and
Lucas cute. Is,
but Lucas was like, oh.
Yeah.
You two honestly were so giddy and cute in that
so
scene.
So cute.
I remember getting those pages. Don't you remember when they gave us the pages were in red? The last like 10 pages of the episode were in red in the script.
Yes, because people were leaking our scripts, remember?
Yes.
They were getting leaked, and the red pages with the black ink couldn't be zero.
Oh, that's right.
Everything would disappear.
That's right.
So they gave us the end of the episode in red so it wouldn't get leaked onto the internet.
I was in my trailer when I read this, and I when I saw that line, Haley was like, we got married last night. I busted out of my trailer because James and I shared a trailer. And I busted out of my trailer, and I ran, and I banged on his door. I was like, did you read the end of this episode?
What did he say?
He was like, yeah, I can't believe it. This is crazy.
Oh my God.
But that was
God.
The hook. We could have ended the show and everything was wrapped up. Everything was nice and tidy. You two getting married was the hook where people were like, wait, what? This
it was
has
smart.
To come back.
It was very smart. It was very smart.
Really inquiring smart. Minds want to know, how's this marriage going to play out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, girls, you talk about it amongst yourselves. I love you. I'm sorry.
Are you
I have
recording?
To go.
What are you doing? We wanna cheer on whatever you're working on right now.
Oh, thank you. I am.
You did a show.
I
last
did a
night.
Show last night in Nashville. I have some writing sessions and recording stuff that I've been just getting into, and there's just so many schedules to juggle. And I had so many of these things already set up, and I'm only here for a week, so unfortunately, this was my only.
Give
time.
Us our new favorite record, Joy.
I love you,
it.
Girls. Hey, talk about how much good music love there was it. In this episode, by the way, because the music in this episode was amazing. So don't forget to talk about that.
Beautiful.
Okay, and Brooke was so delicious with all of the stuff with Nikki. And
Nikki!
I loved their schemes. And okay, I had too many notes. I love you. 1, 2, 3. Ravens nevermore. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
love you.
Well, we have had like a bonkers week. What can we say about Joy while she's not here? She'll love that.
Oh my God. You know what I loved? Okay, because the thing I have written under the satin bra in all caps in my notes is I loved Joy chose to play that scene. I saw her do two things. Like they come in from the rain and Nathan gets undressed and she has this very beautiful, like feminine reaction to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, She allows her attraction to take her by surprise as Haley. And then she makes a decision.
Yes, exactly.
I saw her realize that for the first time, because she's been attracted to Nathan as Haley for so long, but for the first time, her attraction didn't make her uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And she realized she was ready this time.
She had the power in that moment.
Yeah.
That's a lovely way to be in control of your sexuality is when you feel in total control and you're hungry for it. You know, no one wants to eat a meal when they're not hungry. but if you haven't had anything all day and you're like, you know what? I'm going to eat this entire plate of Nathan. Great.
I was expecting you to say a pasta for the analogy, but I'm with you. No,
plate of Nathan.
You're like, I'm just going to eat that boy.
But here's my question was, why wasn't Haley cheering at the game? Did I miss something? Like, wasn't she on the squad?
I was wondering also, I think she just did the Sparkle Classic with us, and then we convince her to be on the squad for real in the later seasons.
Has she not cheered at a game? We're going to need somebody to weigh in on this. I was just like,
I don't think she did.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it was just the Sparkle Classic.
Either way, frankly, I was mad she wasn't down there with us winking and smiling and being cutesy, holding hands.
It was interesting to me that they did decide to use the turn and wink to you multiple times.
Weird.
I was like, are we using it as a flashback? Like, what? Why do we keep repeating this? But I realized, I think they did it not well, as a device to try to lead the audience on the misdirect.
Well, let's talk about that.
Brooke is going to betray Peyton.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that me knowing what's going to happen, never bought the misdirect. Are there people out there that did? Like, are there people out there, if you guys really believed that Brooke was going to betray Peyton, you need to send us a note because.
Yeah, fans, will you tell us?
I didn't buy it for a second.
Did we sell that?
I mean, Brooke's a good actress with your purple eyeshadow hanging out in the.
My God, that was so the purple. Blue. Good God. As soon as that scene came on, I was like, whoa, that's a choice we made in the makeup trailer. Jesus.
That's Brooke's I'm a grown up and I have a fake ID eyeshadow.
Yeah. Don't I look 22?
We used to wear a lot of lilac eyeshadow. Maybe it's time for that to come back.
Yeah. Honestly, I have a lilac jacket that I like so much. So maybe I should just do a whole
head
to toe.
That's right. You used to match your makeup with your clothes all the time.
Oh, yeah. That was like Kelly Jefferson and I, who y'all know we've talked about, our wonderful makeup artist on the show. That was a Kelly Jefferson. She was like, I think this girl who's so into fashion but also is a teenager would think it's really cool to match her eyeshadow to her outfits. And I was like, I'm obsessed with this. And that's what we did.
All right, we're getting the note that it's season 3 that Haley became a cheerleader because Brooke asked her to join the squad after newcomer Rachel Gattina tries to take over the squad.
Hey. Okay.
All right.
One of our favorite redhead.
We have such a good team that helps us with this stuff.
It is such a good team.
You want to talk a little bit about all those scenes between Chad and James, because they played so well together. Chad did such a good job. Mm-hmm. James did such a good job. It's like they had the whole will they or won't they relationship this whole season. So for them to end up in that space at the River Court in the end was just, ugh.
I was so touched by it because it ran this really beautiful arc of Nathan trying to help Lucas rehab. Mm-hmm. Them sharing in all of this experience of Dan and him just being so vicious with them as the substitute coach. And then that beautiful night shot on the River Court where all of Wilmington's lit up. And Nathan says, I never thought during that first game that I'd be here feeling like this. I'm going to miss you. And when he says, you know, because you're a great basketball player, and they both almost laugh, but they don't. And then he says, and you're my brother. Ugh. I cried. I was like, oh, no.
I got chili bumps on my arms like, just you talking about it.
Yeah. Like, I'm actually, like, teary-eyed again. It really, watching them, Lucas and Nathan, have that moment, it really got me. It was beautiful.
It's sad to see Lucas's family that he thought he had falling apart. I mean, he had a maternal person and a paternal person, and they're basically splitting up, and he's having to pick which person he's going to go with. And so for him to finally have this new solid family member who loves his best friend and who cares about him and who stands up for him to Dan in the locker room, like Nathan's whole fight with Dan in the locker room was... meow.
It was so good. And him calling Dan on being a coward and not being a team player back then. And Dan, like, being so ashamed in front of all those boys. Yeah. You know, his
Tim
son
slinks off. Tim's like, I'm good. Yeah. I don't want this.
He's like, I gotta go.
This is fine.
I have to leave.
Yeah, I mean, that relationship, Nathan and Luke, was something that was fun to watch. Because it's not like, I mean, at that point, were we all hanging out outside of work? I think by the end of the season, we were all just like working 20-hour days and going home and going to sleep.
Yeah.
And so Chad and James's relationship, the way they were able to just come to work and lock into that without, they weren't living together at that point.
No.
Yeah, it's just, they made it look so easy. Just, okay, we're going to love each other now. And their walk and talks are really strong. Haley's scene with Chad, though, was for me like the saddest scene where she's like, I'm scared. What do you mean you're not going to be here? And then she starts listing all this stuff that I like to do. She's like, who's going to go thrift store shopping with me? And who's going to go get dumb records? And I'm just like, hi.
It's like, hi. Me. Hello?
It's me.
We'll
Pick
all go.
Me. Yeah. I mean, I still don't understand Lucas moving away. I don't know why that was part of. Like, I always think there's like a double reason why they do stuff. Was it because Chad was doing a movie?
Yeah.
They knew he was doing a movie and they knew they couldn't bring him back right away?
I don't really know. But I think he is back right away. I really think that they used that. You know, Haley and Nathan getting married was a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Lucas going away with Keith was a cliffhanger. By the way, when you said, you know, inquiring minds want to know what's going to happen with this married teenage couple. Inquiring minds want to know who left a serial killer envelope on Peyton's door for Brooke and Peyton.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, what is that? Who left that? And guys, I really don't remember. And so I think that they wanted, with every kind of couplet, they wanted us to have these cliffhangers. Dan's having a heart attack. Deb finds him. Karen and Deb have been at the game together.
Oh, and that's so layered, you know, too, because when we first see them, we don't know that Dan has told Deb this story of, I didn't want to be with you. I was leaving you to go back to Karen. And Deb still chooses to sit with Karen at the game that Dan is coaching. Yeah. That is some, that's deep drama in a small town.
Well, and I almost feel like because him saying that to her, you know, she realizes that she's been just as screwed over by him as Karen was.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, she talks about the first time she left him. How many times have there been, do we think?
I don't know.
How many times has Deb almost gotten out?
I
mean.
Yeah.
So she talks about the first time she tried to leave him, and then she gets, like, suckered back into it. And that sinking feeling of knowing, I was almost out of this, but I came back because I thought you really loved me. And now you're telling me this whole time I was pick number two? Like, I could have gotten off without feeling guilty before. It's gross.
It is really gross.
Yeah, well, she gets her payback with the Keith of it all. Why?
Yeah, I still stand by it. We got robbed. I wanted to see Barbara and Craig Sheffer make out so bad because there was so much chemistry.
Do you think it's like a director's cut somewhere?
We got to ask Barb. Like, did they actually shoot a love scene? Did it not make it? Because remember, our scripts were so long.
Well,
you guys,
right.
We would shoot so much stuff that would get cut down.
I'd get so pissed. I did a whole storyline once. Ugh. There's an episode in season two, I think, that I'm not in because I'd shot an entire like storyline that was separate from everyone else about me going to hang out with this foster kid. And
I remember
the
that
episode aired, it wasn't in. I'm like, we worked for days on this, but it was just because we didn't have
time.
And
they were like, well, we didn't have time. That was always the thing. We didn't have time. I remember when we did the in season three, the school shooting episode. Yeah. And I got to shoot this amazing monologue, just having a meltdown about, you know, what all these news reporters were doing when, like, my best friend was inside and how this was the worst day of our lives. And, like, they were just trying to get sound bites. And they were like, yeah, we loved it. We didn't have time. So they put it on the extra scenes on the DVD at the end of the season.
God.
I was like, cool. I'm really glad I really glad I prepared for that and just left my whole heart on the floor.
Hold on, though. For, like, streaming services, do they have extra scenes, like, that we used to have on the DVDs? Is that a thing?
Oh, my God.
I don't know either.
I don't know how it could be.
Like, do you have to own the DVD in order to get all that bonus footage? Let's talk about Barry a little bit because...
Oh, Barry.
The scene that he has when Luke comes to see him, it's clear that, like, he's having more trouble than Luke is having. Luke's doing all the right things. He's going around, he's saying goodbye to everyone. He's being an adult, you know, or as much adult as he can be. And he's trying to right all the wrongs. And you see this coach who doesn't have any children of his own and who knows what this boy is going through and has watched his trajectory go from like smiling real big, like, you're going to be great. Take care of Keith, man. I love you guys. We find out that Keith has like gone to sit with Whitey after every single home game, win or lose.
Yeah.
When Chad leans in and hugs him and we see his face just crack over Chad's shoulder and then he has to regroup as Chad pulls back out. They were so good together.
Yeah. And Barry, I mean, what a force. Like, man... Now as an adult, I'm like, God, I wish I'd just gone to work on all the days Barry was working And I wasn't.
Girl, you should have been with us at Charlie Brown's. He was like a champion, like a nationally ranked champion in like the Jeopardy game that they play in bars.
Yeah, the trivia game. Oh, I remember that. I was there for some of those nights.
The other thing I noticed too is that Barry Corbin has the most beautiful hands on the planet. Did you see him holding the basketball? And he's got these like angelic, soft looking hands.
He does, which doesn't make any sense because he's been like a ranch guy his whole life.
What is that?
I'm like, what does he do? Does he go home at night and like put Vaseline on them and stick them in socks?
What if Barry got manicures on a regular basis? That would be a fun
fact. Oh my God.
That I'd love.
I want Barry Corbin to become a TikTok influencer so badly. Wouldn't that
be, yeah.
Just like teach us stuff, Barry. How do we take care of our hands?
And our horses. Hands and horses with Barry.
Hands and horses. Oh done. My God.
Okay.
It's the new Bob Ross, and I'm so ready for it. You know what was fun too? Speaking of the world of basketball on our show, I got so geeked to see Brendan Kirsch.
Oh my God, that's right.
Tell
everyone who Brendan is.
Guys, Brendan Kirsch, our sweet, sweet basketball coordinator, who'd been a basketball coach, who's just the loveliest man, played the locker room medic in this episode. And Brendan was with us through the entire course of our show, one of James's best friends, Brendan Kirsch and Lisa Goldstein, who played Millicent in the later seasons, ended up getting married.
Crazy.
Like, isn't it crazy? Like, he's such a good, sweet, just like One Tree Hill guy. I babysat his daughter for like 5 years. Oh my God. I love that man. And I forgot this was his first time on camera and it was so fun to see him. And he by the way, was a good actor.
Yeah, he did a good job. Like,
I was like, oh my God, Brendan Kirsch can act.
We could have had more of this. As the seasons went on, we got to put more and more of our own personal experiences into the show. And I think by the time we'd reached this episode, we were so sick of just shaking our pom-poms at the games and just going, yeah, cool, get them. But the chants that we were doing were real chants that I was doing in high school at Parkview. And so when I totally forgot that we were doing like real cheers that I knew that I was like, guys, if we do this. And so as we're doing like, let's go Ravens in this episode, in my mind, I'm like, let's go Patriots. And then when we say Ravens, I'm all like confused. I'm just like, hold on a second. Yeah. My reality is melding here. But it was cool that we could just like say, what are we supposed to be doing here? Oh, I know. Let's just do this. It's super easy, super fast. Mm-hmm. To have two different high schools to claim. The other thing that was really weird for me is that Lucas missing the shot is exactly what happened in our state championship game at Parkview High School in football my senior year.
No way.
We went to states. We had been undefeated for years, like all 4 years of high school, totally undefeated. We go and the championship game is on a college field where the goal posts are just a little bit narrower than they are on a high school field.
It
came down to a field goal. 1 point is all we needed. And this sweet, sweet boy, who shall remain nameless, was our kicker.
The
ball hit the goalpost. The same way that Lucas's shot hits the rim.
The rim.
And that gut punch. And knowing that that kid just wants to crawl into a hole and die. And so I ran across the field and kissed him. Which is usually how I fix things, but
that's great.
No one kissed Lucas.
No,
he's just
no. He had to go to the locker room and get yelled at by
but
Dana.
I appreciate that neither Brooke or Peyton felt it was their responsibility. Nope. You know,
I agree.
Nathan taps him on the shoulder. They're there, pal, and everyone just lets him sit on the floor of the gym.
Yeah.
And even Haley's like,
you have
Haley's
your feelings.
Like, baby, I got plans tonight. I'm so sorry.
She's like, I'm getting married tonight. Everyone thinks I've been talking about sex this whole time, but I'm getting married.
That is nuts. Did you know anybody that was married super young like that?
No.
Like, we had a lot of chicks have babies in high school. That was really common, but I don't think anybody was married. She carried a duffel bag to the car.
The duffel bag. I was like, where are they going? Are they eloping? Are they going to Vegas? Like, what's happening?
Oh, man. I'm just going to wrap this little dress up, put it in a duffel bag. No one will know. I'm gone. Where are her parents?
Well, do you remember that in later seasons, maybe it's in season two, there's like flashbacks to their wedding and you find out their parents were
there. Oh, my God. I forgot
Her parents
that.
Were there because they had to give them permission. So here's what's crazy. I didn't remember almost any of this episode aside from our like winky winky face. I forgot that you know, we did the misdirect and that we plotted the whole thing to send Nikki across the country.
I feel like I remember us being in Blue Post though. Like, I have a sense memory of that. And also,
yeah, but we used to go drinking there, so I don't know when we were working and when. It could have been any Thursday night. Like, I don't know that we were on set. But yeah, I really remember, I think because we were all so like, oh my God, they're getting married. I remember so much of the Nathan and Haley marriage storyline. I don't remember any of my own.
Yeah, it is bonkers to me that we went with it and like stuck with it for years and that it worked. Like, it truly worked and set a really strange expectation for the rest of the country of like, girl, just marry that kid. It'll be fine. But then I guess Deb must have signed the paperwork too, right?
I don't know.
Oh, dude. Because if she went to that basketball game, knowing that Nathan was getting married after the basketball game and that she was going to go burn Dan's stuff and have sex with Keith, like, that's a whole bag of weird.
That's a lot.
That I'm going to have trouble analyzing. Also, I just want to keep going back to our glancing at each other. How come us glancing at each other isn't a meme yet? Like, I just feel like I need that to be the meme that we, or the gif, or whatever the kids call it.
Are there gifs? I feel like we deserve gifs.
Yeah, of us just looking at each other.
Yeah, I also feel like we need more, like, gif stickers, like in Instagram. Where are all the gifs of our show in those little sticker searches?
Oh, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Arts and crafts.
Young, technologically brilliant listeners, can you help us solve this mystery, please?
The greatest line of the whole show, besides the one about Karen being staggering, you know what it is.
I know what it is. Karen saying the line. And I didn't remember where it came from because it became such a thing in our show that it was ubiquitous. It was who we were. And to see them, Karen in tears, not wanting to say goodbye to her son, and saying, there is only one Tree Hill, and it's your home. I was so just like shot in the heart by it. I took my notes and I capitalized the words that she really emphasized with her intonation, one and home. And I was like, man, this is, it makes me so emotional.
Well, and it's the thing that like people bring us, you know, things to sign at conventions and that is always there. And it was really like the first time the title of our show made sense. We'd done a whole...
Yeah.
Everyone's like, One Tree Hill, what?
Everyone's like, why is it called this?
They're like, if we're going to wrap this up, we've got to make sense of this. But yes, it is an iconic line from the show amongst a ton of other iconic material in this episode. You know, if it had ended here, it would have been... okay. I'm so glad it didn't. But I feel like we were put in a really like healthy spot. It wasn't like trauma. So many of our cliffhangers in later seasons were all about trauma. And the cliffhangers here were just really about feelings. And well, I guess Dan's going through some trauma, but we don't really care.
Yeah, it feels like karmic retribution on Dan's part.
Fine. I don't care.
Let him have a
heart attack. Damn, Dan. Hey, do we have any listener questions? Hit us.
I think we do. Man.
Girl.
This is savage. Christine.
What's she trying to say here?
What was your favorite and least favorite season one style? Can I say everything?
No, girl, you rocked a halter top. You in a halter top was deadly. Yeah.
You know what I did like, actually, now that I'm thinking about it? The night of the boy toy auction, Brooke's little like 60s mom
that was super
outfit.
Cute.
I loved that. But like the super low rise Hawaiian print skirts that have nothing to do with actual Hawaii and like bad tank tops. God, just bury them, please, or burn them or something.
Midriff was a really difficult thing to navigate. I have a very long torso. Woof. It's an incredibly long torso.
You're not doing yourself very kindly. You are just very long. You are like a long, lean, elegant person.
My belly button doesn't sit where other people's belly button sits. So when you have low rise things on, the shirt covers the belly button and all you see is this just like strip of flesh and it's not cute. And every other girl had cute little belly buttons with their little piercings and things hanging out. So God, midriffs are so hard. We're never going back to that, right?
No.
Just...
Although I did definitely see some things hitting the interwebs about how like fashion shows, now that things are back from COVID, like people are doing low rise. They're like, the 90s are back. Nope. And I'm like, not for me. Absolutely
you can
not.
Have it, kids.
1998 or 2004 or whatever they are. No,
you know what it was? We had those Rockin' Republic jeans and they were so low, but that's the waist is not what held the pant up. It's that the thighs were so tight that the butt,
they were stuck.
The butt part could be as like open and wiggly as possible. It's just the thighs held everything up. It was a rough time, guys.
It's a no for me.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So your favorite was the 60s thing.
What did you like? What did you like for Peyton? Obviously, we know you're not a fan of the jeans.
There was a lot of sorting out with Peyton. I think in season two, I just wear thermal shirts and baby t-shirts the entire season, which is not my favorite thing either. I was uncomfortable so much on this show until Carol showed up in season four?
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Yeah. I always too, because I'm not good at fashion in real life, I was so hesitant to give my opinion on anything because it was like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. You guys tell me what I should be wearing. And as I've gotten older, I've learned that that's not a great idea unless it's you putting me in a power suit. Like, you're the only person that understands how to dress my body with its long, weird torso.
I love to dress your
body.
Get
that body. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I liked fashion on other people. Joy had so many good looks. Like,
her clothes, Haley's clothes were the best. I know they put her in that stupid hat.
They made up for it.
Mostly her clothes were the best.
Yeah, she had that pretty in pink moment with the party in Nathan's apartment. Mm. And the dinner party with Nathan's family was super cute. Mm-hmm. And her little foxy juicy suit in this episode.
Well, and that cute like tank top peeking out from that wide ballerina top in the last episode. I loved that. I'd wear that now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, she's a time traveler.
Yeah, she really nailed that.
All right. Thanks, Christine, for pointing out our weaknesses. I appreciate you. We got another question from Paige. She says, what was your schedule like when filming and in between filming? Did you have a break between seasons and what did you do for fun during that time? We had a hiatus after every year. And so if this aired in May, that means we would have shot it in March-ish.
March, April.
Yeah, because we didn't have a long lead time.
We would always go till the end of April.
So we ended filming not knowing if we were going to be picked up because they don't normally pick you up until end of May, beginning of June. End of May. You know, like.
But then you got to be back at work July 10th, which I know because it was always 2 days after my birthday.
So we ended not really knowing what was going to happen. And it's like, well, do I go and try to book a job? Like, what do I do? What'd you do this summer after season one?
Well, it's so hard to try to book a job because most jobs won't take you because your TV show has a thing called first position, meaning they're the ones who basically own you. And so if you get another job and then your TV show gets picked up, then the job you're working on is just screwed. So it was really hard. It was really hard to find jobs that would fit in that tiny hiatus window of May, June. Because nothing gets done before July 9th, because it's the 4th of July in the U.S. So you had to kind of try to find something that would fit in there. And so, I was like running around, you know, trying to work on little movies and learn stuff. And It definitely took me a couple of years, like you were saying, with feedback, with fashion. It took me a couple of years to be like, oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't go do a job just because it shoots in my hiatus if the script isn't
girl.
That good. I'm not actually going to learn anything there. But I was like, you know, 20 and I didn't know anything. So I made some really great movies and some that were not so great. But that's just part of the journey.
Yeah. I mean, that the summer after season one, I went and did my very first movie with Jason Ritter and Autumn Reeser and Beth Grant and Allison Janney and Cheryl Hines.
Incredible people.
It was
people.
Like summer camp, and it was such an easy, chill set. And our set had been so spastic that I was just like, wait, what the heck is this? And like Jason was number one on the call sheet on that movie.
What an angel.
Isn't
he
a perfect human?
He's a perfect human.
And he was such a good leader. And I felt like I learned a lot from him just about like empathy on set and not knowing what everyone's going through and making everything real light. Like he keeps stuff light, but he's still really caring. Yeah. And so that was a perfect person for me to work with after the chaos of One Tree Hill, because it really was like bananas on our set. And that was a safe place to land. Plus, I went to Tennessee where I drank moonshine for the first time. That was pretty cool. And we would sing karaoke at the Papa Top.
That's so fun.
I felt like I picked those hiatus jobs just based on where they were filming. Because it was like, New Orleans. You and I both did that. We both did New Orleans movies just so we could live in New Orleans for the summer.
Yeah. I was like, I want to go there. Yeah, bye.
Done. It was, you know, I think it was important for us to take breaks because we were shooting a show about school, and we were shooting it kind of during like school year, and then we'd get our summers off. Yeah. And so I still felt like I was in high school until we were 25?
Dude,
we were following the same cycle. By the way, I still kind of follow that cycle. Like I do nothing in the summer.
Too. It's actually so funny. I remember Joy and I once, we were like sitting around talking one night, and we were like, isn't it kind of weird? Do you think are we like a little emotionally stunted? Because we were basically in high school till we were 30.
Yes. Like,
does it hold you back? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe that's why we feel young and foxy and fabulous. Like, maybe it's a positive thing. But yeah, it was very weird to sort of repeat high school for the decade after high school.
I mean,
it's crazy.
I try to explain, I've got all these like people helping me with the renovation here. Like there's house painters and there's like carpenters and things, and they're all 25. And I think like, hey man, we're peers. And then I realize I'm the old lady. I'm the one. They're like, hey, you're like my mom's age. And I'm just, cool. Tell me more, kids.
You're like, wow.
I'm mom's age. Yeah. Moms and I are hanging out. You guys like gin blossoms? So what else are you into? Baby, you want to spin a wheel? I want to get you to bed. You've been working so hard. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, boo. I mean, same. I just wish I had a little time off and I could come help you lay some tile up the house.
All right. Our superlative wheel.
Look at this
most
wheel.
Likely to win the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, probably you. You're the advocate of our group. Sophia's like, is there a problem? I'm here to solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ resolves it.
Oh my God, you're perfect. Ice.
No, baby. You are a problem solver, and you are tenacious and indefatigable, and you have already made such a difference in so many people's lives. I think that's kind of like a no duh. So you don't get to fight me on that. That's a big duh. But you get to pick the person, the character in the show.
Oh, gosh. Just trying to sit here and swallow
stop. You know you are. Sophia, you do more than anybody. I was wearing my I'm a voter shirt yesterday. Today, I'm wearing my Tyler Hilton shirt. Like, honestly, would I do without our cast to give me clothes?
I love it. The merch is so good. Gosh, a character on our show who would most likely win the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, is it weird that Karen comes to mind? Like, I don't know why. I'm just like, she was the most together person.
Gentle. Who was doing things like...
Gentle.
Like in the grown-up years, was there anybody doing anything like political or advocacy?
We didn't really get into politics. I mean, Mouth in the grown-up years becomes a journalist.
Okay.
So probably
we
Mouth.
Always make Mouth.
It's always Mouth. But that's because he's perfect. Like, the rest of us are a mess, but you know. He would probably be our
I
guy.
Love it.
He would tell some crazy story. He'd win a Pulitzer and then he'd win a Nobel Peace Prize and all would be
he'd
right.
He'd uncover some like crazy injustice, shine a light on
uh-huh,
it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm into that.
Don't you think?
I 100% agree. 100%. I'm excited to come back for season two. I'm going to level with you.
Me too.
We're going to have to address my hair in season two because I burnt it all off the summer between one and two. So once I get over that hurdle, it's an emotional block for me. I can't wait to get into it because season two is bonkers.
It's funny. I don't remember season two.
Because we were having a really good time. Done. I love you so much. I want you to go get some rest. I want all of you to rest up because season two is going to be a banger. Episode one is The Desperate Kingdom of Love. God, that's... Okay. Well, let's get desperate, right. Friends. We love you.
We'll get desperate, but in a fun way.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at DramaQueensOTH.
Or email us at DramaQueens@iHeartRadio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.